Yep.
Or for a lot of you, oh my God, now we have to get back to our real lives after Dragon Con. And that's just an awful anti-Friday if you think about it. Hi, everyone.
We're still at Dragon Con.
Pretty much. Welcome to the 6th of September. We're the fantastic folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today. But later that's going to spell out what she's thinking about. It's the Flintstress.
Now I'm concerned on a number of levels.
But are they all levels?
Yes.
That's a question. Hi, I'm Wonderful Billy Flynn.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it.
That's right. It's always a party if you make it. So what happened on this fine day?
Let's take it back to 1666. The Great Fire of London breaks out and burns for 3 days, destroying 10,000 buildings, including St. Paul's Cathedral.
1752, Great Britain adopts the Gregorian calendar nearly 2 centuries later than most of Western Europe.
They're stubborn. 1789, the United States Department of the Treasury is founded.
1859, a solar superstorm affects electrical telegraph service.
Man. 1901, Vice President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, utters the famous phrase, "Speak softly and carry a big stick," at the Minnesota State Fair.
1938, the first railroad car to be equipped with fluorescent lighting was put in operation on the New York Central Railroad.
1961, the USSR resumed nuclear weapons testing. Test ban treaty negotiations had failed with the US and Britain when the three nations could not agree upon the nature and frequency of on-site inspections.
1963, CBS Evening News becomes US network television's first half-hour weeknight news broadcast when the show was lengthened from 15 to 30 minutes.
There was a lot of news that day. 1969, NBC TV cancels Star Trek.
Bastards. 1970, NASA announces the cancellation of two Apollo missions to the moon. Apollo 15, the designation is reused by later mission, and Apollo 19.
1985, it was announced that the Titanic had been found on September 1st by a U.S. and French expedition 560 miles off of Newfoundland. The luxury liner had been missing for 73 years.
And in 2024, Wayland Industries makes first foray into the luxury goods market with its holographic environment simulator, you know, the holodeck. It's the first HES able to accurately recreate the aesthetic mood and sounds of any place in the known world, as well as provide live video feed from any calibrated receiver, meaning OnlyFans in the future is awesome. Birthday?
MC Chris is 46. That's MC P-Pants from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
And a fantastic musical talent. Cynthia Watros is 53. Kelly and Drew Carey. Libby on Lost. And Aaron in Titus.
Kristen Cloak is 53. That's Shane in Space Above and Beyond. Lara in Millennium and Final Destination.
Mark Harmon is 70. From St. Elsewhere, Summer School, NCIS, and was Superman in Crisis on Two Earths.
Walt Simonson is 75, comic writer and artist, X-Factor in the Fantastic Four, Detective Comics, Manhunter, Metal Men, Star Wars, Alien, Battlestar Galactica, and RoboCop vs. Terminator.
Mary Jo Catlett is 83, Pearl on Different Strokes, Mrs. Puff on SpongeBob.
No longer with us, born in 1915, Meinhard Rabe. He portrayed the coroner who certified the death of the Wicked Witch of the East.
1919, Marge Champion, the model for Snow White, the Blue Fairy in Pinocchio, Hyacinth Hippo in Fantasia.
Born in 1929, Hal Ashby from Harold and Maude, Shampoo, and Being There.
1937, Lynn Carlson, Canadian voice actor, Ganon in that Zelda cartoon series, and Senator Kelly in the X-Men cartoon, plus he was Swamp Thing.
And born in 1946, Luis Avalos from Electric Company, Hot Stuff, and The Ringer. Well, on TV tonight, we got a CBS Big Brother.
ABC, Bachelor in Paradise, a little game of this on a new The Ultimate Server. So what is this? I don't know.
I don't know. NBC has the national finals, too, on a new American Ninja Warrior, and Jordan and Marcus on a new The Wall.
Fox, social media in hell, plus Hell Hath No Fury on a new Hell's Kitchen. 2 hours, baby.
Damn. CW, Liz puts herself, Isabel, and Michael in danger when her plan doesn't exactly pan out as she initially expected it would. Eduardo confines in Alex on a new Roswell, and then there's a new Republic of Sarah.
If they crossed over, Freeform's got your Toy Story 4.
AMC, the appraisal of an antique book takes a turn when dark forces are accidentally summoned on a new creep show.
Didn't say every single syllable. Bravo, the crew members of the Lady Michelle rely on their creativity as they attempt to keep the guests entertained during a whiteout storm on a new Below Deck Mediterranean.
On FX, the secret life of pets, too.
The secrets are life. FXX, your Simpsons marathon has the old man and the sea student, 30 minutes over Tokyo, and guess who's coming to criticize dinner?
FXM showing The Revenant.
Unbearable. BBC America showing Star Trek. Ha, there they go. F you for canceling it.
Paramount has The Magnificent Seven.
Sundance, The Patriot.
Sci-fi, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
TBS is showing Stan wanting to make a good impression on Toshi's father, but encounters trouble. Klaus and Jeff travel to the country for a weekend getaway on a new American Dad.
Well, TNT has a young detective that meets a girl who possesses strange powers, and they find themselves entangled in a dark conspiracy that could bring destruction down on the world as they build a team of saviors, including other misfits with new special abilities on a new Titan.
But tonight's the Lifetime Movie Network is following a breakup with a long-term boyfriend. A promising photographer, vlogger, heads to her best friend's family vacation house where a mysterious man emerges and causes emotions to escalate as the girls face danger.
Oh, no.
Angela Gunnar and Sam Kuramy star in Dead in the Water.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. The life of troubled cop Inspector Chad DeMira takes an unexpected turn when a mysterious woman gives him a bracelet that seems to allow him to control fortune. Will he use it to bring a killer to justice or win at the casino? Can Chad win big and even keep the secret? In order to pull this off, he'll have to be like a midnight man. But if he does, he could walk away with the bad guy and millions. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Even if Komodo dragons were friendly, cuddly, and free of venom and salmonella, I would still stay away from them. And I want to know, the drone photos and videos are from a behaviorally proper distance with very quiet, unobtrusive drones. They need their space. We humans have already taken too much space. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, I'm with you. I'm not about upsetting dragons under any circumstance at all, whether they sound like Benedict Cumberbatch or not. And for those of you that were playing along, yes, last week Chad and Abby were on Undeclared. That was a sneaky one, Mark, because it did sound an awful lot like 17,000 other going to school shows. This week, what could it be? Don't know. But if you know, drop a note. By all means, tell us. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail, text, message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
I've already forgotten where they are this week.
Do you like to study? Are you kind to creatures of all shapes and sizes? Do you believe in monsters? Then Baron Davis and the Monster Rangers want you. Monsters hide in plain sight. Boys and girls can see them, and so can you if you just use Baron Davis's patented Imaginate process involving self-discipline, wonder, and candy. Monster Rangers are kind, honorable, spooky, thrifty, and irreverent, while the evil Dr. Duke Davis and his plug uglies are mean, full of bunk, and your run-of-the-mill mullygrubs. Join us to help defend the land of Monstru. Monsters around the globe are in trouble and need our help. So if you've got the moxie, then log on to your nearby terminal and go to monsterrangers.com. Believe, study, protect.
Hi, this is Corin Nimick from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Ah, that was the best.
Which is always a fun thing and a good time to do and whatnots.
Okay, give me your all.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have Frost Giant strength. Look it up.
And while you look it up, look up these other games you can play from DriveThruRPG.
Like, how about this one? With a group known as the Nomads of the Prismatic Hand, they seek to release a long-entombed entity. Religious zeal drives this group in hopes that their past will be burned away by the cleansing flames of the Prismatic Lord. But this tyrant of chaos is nothing more than destruction incarnate, suffocating the life from all the things it touches. Can you stop this group before they release their Prismatic Lord, their Monarch of Embers, the Dark Flame? That's The Dark Flame, but from Professor Tabletop.
A generated catacomb crawl through a candlelit world of stone and skulls beneath a just slightly fantastical industrial city where eccentric patrons insist upon shining the heavy, noxious electric arc lamps of progress carried on the backs of poorly paid apprentices or ancient mysteries, and those mysteries retaliate with obsession and madness. It also has a system-agnostic tool set for generating a probably unending crawl through vaguely disturbing, darkly whimsical catacombs, methods for creating a vibrant haunted city to return your tattered band to, a threatened miserable encounter generator for along the way, and tools to inspire a cast of characters in the proper sly quasi-Victorian style, where mystery dwells, from Catamorian Studios.
That's a good definition of life, right? A threat and miserable encounter generator. Well, how about a bare-bones, free-form solo RPG? Designed to play with the solo character in narrative mode. You guide your character through the story that will unravel during the game, asking closed questions to an oracle who will assume the role of game master. Every now and then, the game will surprise you with an unexpected plot twist happens. That's Loner from Wolf Moon Games.
Or pay what you want for a heartfelt homage to the trope of the super spy agency, no S.H.I.E.L.D., Uncle, BPRD, G.I. Joe, blah, blah, blah. You are part of the Bureau of Abnormalities, Mutations, and the Fantastic, When there's something too weird, spooky, or otherworldly for the cops or the army, you call Agents of Bamf from Fainting Goat Games.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, the Borg Queen has been assimilated into season 2 of Star Trek Picard. Annie Wersching will be taking over the role, joining Picard when the series beams back later this year.
We are the Borg. By assimilating your spinoff into our collective, we are bringing it closer to perfection.
Of course, the Queen isn't the only Borg woman from Star Trek Voyager to appear on Picard. The trailer for season 2 also again showed Jeri Ryan is coming back as a de-Borged 7 of 9.
And she seems to think that means she was delivered from chaos into order.
The triumvirate return of the Borg Queen, look that up. And the official teaser for Picard season 2 has the line, "The true final frontier is time." So time travel could be involved here, just like it was when we first met the Borg Queen back in 1996 in Star Trek First Contact.
Time travel is how you become the beginning, the end, and the one who is many.
The Borg Queen debuted in next-gen sophomore outing Star Trek First Contact. The 25th anniversary is this November.
God.
The last time we saw the Borg was the Enterprise appearance that I would not let you be your first Borg encounter.
Affirmative.
When Picard returns, we know Q is showing up. We already said 7 of 9. Was there any chance the Borg would not return to the franchise? Hardly. Resistance is futile.
Well, HBO Max has ordered a pilot for a possible Dead Boy detective series based on DC comic characters from author Neil Gaiman.
Dead Boy? Oh, God, I always wondered what happened to the three investigators.
Well, the one-hour series follows the Dead Boy detectives, Charles Roland and Edwin Payne, who decide not to enter the afterlife in order to stay on Earth and investigate crimes involving the supernatural.
Just like Frank and Joe.
Well, Sebastian Croft and Ty Tennant will play Rowland and Payne in the upcoming third series of HBO Max's Doom Patrol, though the pilot is believed to be a standalone and there may be different actors playing them.
DC, how many Earths do you have left before you have to go to Earth, Fred?
Right? Great point. DC does like to create a ton of universes. This should tie into Doom Patrol, and why not the HBO Max series, considering the origin of these characters? Hey, also ties to Lucifer, and spoiler, the last episode has to feature death, and we'll be sure to focus on the business of them who are long in the tooth. Ain't for children to play it.
There are many, many reasons to think about moving to New Zealand.
Right?
The gorgeous scenery, the wonderful people, the very impressive response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And now, you can add to that list sending your mail with some of the most gorgeous Lord of the Rings stamps imaginable.
With updated tacking track. Blah, 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 boom, tacking track. I was doing really well. I had broken my record for, like, longest I've gone without making a mistake. Sorry. With updated tracking tech. So you can
see it. I left off the S.
Sorry. With updated tracking tech. So you can see it go there and back again if there isn't enough postage.
You can view all the lovely stamps by following the link in the show notes, but you can't send your mail with them unless you live in New Zealand. So get ready to display them in an elaborate case.
Great. Now I need to build another wing. Maybe we should just dig a mine.
The stamps were created by artist Sasha Lees, who worked on Jackson's films, and an older set of stamps, too. As you can see, you kind of just want to stare at them long enough before you finally just put the movies back on.
I'm surprised we're not watching them right now.
The Shire is still fertile as Lord of the Rings movie celebrates its 20th anniversary with an epic 6-movie 4K bundle with lots of extras that releases in October for $250. Outside of that, Amazon's got that big budget TV series debuting on September 2nd of next year, and Warner Brothers is fast-tracking a Lord of the Rings animated movie, which will be neither early nor late, but arrive precisely when it means to.
Nice. Well, interesting news. U.S. federal judge Leonie Brikema ruled that AI can't be listed as an inventor on a U.S. patent under current law. The case was brought forward by Stephen Thaler, who is part of the Artificial Inventor Project, an international initiative that argues that an AI should be allowed to be listed as an inventor in a patent. You know, the owner of the AI would legally own the patent.
Johnny Five is litigious.
Well, Thaler sued the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office after it denied his patent applications because he had named the AI, named Dabus, as the inventor of a new type of flashing light and a beverage container. In various responses spanning several months, the patent office explained to Thaler that a machine does not qualify as an inventor because it is not a person. In fact, the machine is a tool used by people to create inventions, the agency maintained.
Which, as a legal byproduct, makes auto-tune legitimate human singing.
Brekema determined that the patent office correctly enforced the nation's patent laws and pointed out that it basically all comes down to the everyday use of language. In the latest revisions of the nation's patent laws in 2011, Congress explicitly defined an inventor as an individual. The Patent Act also references an inventor using words such as himself and herself.
Well, what about non-binary folk? They can't hold a patent?
Well, by using personal pronouns such as himself or herself, and the verb believes in an adjacent term modifying individual, Congress was clearly referencing a natural person, Brekema said in her ruling. Besides, there is a presumption that a given term is used to mean the same thing throughout a statute. The term individual is presumed to have a persistent meaning throughout the Patent Act. The judge also rejected Thaler's claim that the patent office had to provide evidence that Congress... Shit. The judge also rejected Thaler's claim that the patent office had to provide evidence that Congress did not want to exclude AI systems from being inventors. But this has only caused a new class action suit to be launched by Joshua, Hal, and Armin Zola.
Hey, you might want to get up and walk around for this one. Do a few laps around the office, because a new study suggests that steps... could add years to your life.
I read that report. It was the story of the day on Get Steppin'.
Folks who took about 7,000 steps a day had a 50% to 70% lower risk of dying from all causes after 11 years of follow-up when they compared with people who took fewer steps each day. This includes black and white middle-aged men and women.
Well, to get these results, ain't no half-steppin'.
The study led by Amanda Pollich, an assistant professor at the University of Massachusetts, who said 7,000 steps a day may be a great goal for many individuals who are currently not achieving this amount. We also found in our study that accumulating a greater number of steps per day was associated with an incremental lower risk of mortality until leveling off at approximately 10,000 steps a day. So there you have it. We now have it for a scientific fact that the Proclaimers are immortal.
GRD they would walk 10,000 steps for you.
Lies of the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, and I say check out on Facebook and on Twitter, stop by the website, GRDato.com, and all that good stuff. So, you know what you can do? You can write us a note, let us know what's going on in your world.
You can.
All that good stuff. You know, tell us about where you think Chad and Abby are and, you know, what it is you're doing in this world and if we're going to do poker first this time or karaoke. Okay, poker. There
poker.
It is.
Yes,
there it is.
Poker.
Drop it on podcast at geekradio.com or, of course, you can send a voicemail or text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRID-PRO.
And we'll see you at a time different than this one.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers!
It's happening! Use the moose!
I feel so at home here.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, Mr. Shoup, wow! You in this class too?
Mm-mm. I'm teaching it.
No way! Put it on the top! Put it on the top! My girl likes to put it on the top!
All right, have a seat. See who the lucky winners are. Larry, cows in my ass. Where's Larry?
Shh. He's, nocturnal.
Oh. Okay. Try to keep it down. Francis Grimm.
Oh, don't recall me that. The name is Chainsaw.
As in Black and Decker?
As in Texas Massacre.
Oh, yeah, that's in here.
It's in there.
They got files.
Pam House. Says here you lack concentration. Pam? Never mind. Jerome Watkins.
Computer said I failed that test. The computer made an error. I recommend this time I pass.
You're gonna do well, Jerome. I can feel it.